Praise God. Right, let's turn to some scriptures. There'll be possibly a few. We might come back to this theme. Can I just ask you, what does WWW stand for? If I say WWW? Say again? World Wide Web. Interesting. Very interesting, actually. Isn't that amazing? I say WWW and you all just like robots say World Wide Web. 100 years ago. What on earth would that have meant? Nothing. But yeah, it's powerful, isn't it? World Wide Web. WWW. Well, I'd like to suggest, I'm not suggesting that the web is all bad. Lots of positives, but we do need to be careful and wise and not naive. But I've been talking recently about some W's, WWW, all in the context of walking with God. Can anyone tell me what my first W was? Worship. Thanks, Mum. So these are key aspects to walking intimately with God. Worship. W, second W. There's a whole series here. It was last time I spoke, just to... Watchfulness is good. No, it's word. Word, thank you, Mark. Well done. Watchfulness and witness, they're all good. Maybe we can visit those. Maybe it's WWWW. Okay, so worship and word. Absolutely crucial. And boy, what a testimony we started with this morning from that dear man, from that book. I was impressed too how Laura took it on the chin when you said she was in her endeavour to educate herself. Just between us, I wouldn't have got away with that. So, worship, word. And the third one, which I'm going to just try and dip into this morning, is work. Okay, now these are all inextricably linked together. I've, in my mind, just to help me, and this started many years ago, I thought about worship, how we're actually called to enjoy worship. We're created for this. Can I go so far as to say it's just me with words trying to attach them, helps me remember, but to revel in the presence of God, worship, we're to enjoy Him. If you think about the word, we touched on it last time, but and there's a whole range of things you could think about, but there's this amazing theme of actually eating, imbibing the word. I often think of Dad when I think of these thoughts, and he would say, you know, not just, it's not just words, but the word, and we're to take it in, we're to eat it and let it become part of you. And then he used to do that, didn't he? And then outworked. Incarnated. Yeah, so it's that we're to actually eat the word. Wow. What a wonderfully rich prospect that is for us as His people. As we walk with Him, you need to eat in order to have the strength to walk. It's the way God's designed it to be. And then lastly, revel in worship, eat the word, and again you can have this if it's helpful, relish. I don't know if when you've eating isn't just sort of just purely to get stuff in your belly. I know in certain contexts at certain times it is. But actually, God has made taste buds. And when you think of food, I mean, it's staggering the variety. You just go to one food group, fruit. I mean, if it was just about, you know, just the mechanics of getting the energy, personally, I'd go for the banana. I think that's a great design. Don't get orange in your eye and all that. But anyway, that would be okay. But we've got such a resplendent variety of fruit. Yeah. Just fruit and then go to veg. You know, you see. this is God who is Steve Worsley. What a great phrase you prayed. You talked about his generosity, and you said something like, Lord, you've been unreasonably generous in your gift. It is unreasonable, to be frank. It's. I think you went on to say it's scandalous. I could almost hear you just pondering the wonder of it. Eat the word. It's a buffet of delights, a smorgasbord of riches. And he spreads out the table before us in the presence of our enemies. This isn't just on holiday. This is right in the thick of it, in the nitty-gritty of it. We heard testimony right from the beginning, didn't we? He was talking about the riches of his word. He's talking about the variety and the treasure and, oh, bless the Lord. How wonderful. So, sorry, work, finally. We might come back to it, but work, you can think of. So if you enjoy worship and you eat the word, it's helpful for me to think about work in terms of engaging. Engaging, and as I pondered this recently, boy, have I recognized that the enemy is deliberately seeking to get us as God's people to disengage. And he'll do it through a whole manner. Sometimes it's in the face, more often than not it's discreet and subtle, a process of erosion, if you like. So let's just look together at this theme, just briefly, of work. It's amazing how they all link. You can look in Timothy, when Paul is exhorting young Timothy, he talks very much about the word, but he talks of him as a worker. So in terms of the word, in Timothy's life, as he's to, so for example, you could think of when he's exhorted to rightly divide the word of truth. Do you remember that passage? I think it's 2 Timothy 2. He talks about being a worker that need not be ashamed. So there's a very close link between the word and the work. Also, you think of that famous passage where it says, all scripture is given by God. You remember that? It's in Timothy again. And it talks again there about that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped every good work. So it's really interesting to notice the links between word and work. Now you can do that too with worship and work. They're all interlinked. I'd like to gently suggest that it's a little bit like, you could, if you want, if you find this helpful, link worship with Father, because we know in John, the Father seeks such to worship him. Word, who do you immediately think of if you say the Word? It's Jesus, definitely. And the work, the executor of God's will, is that so? You can think of it in those terms. It's just seeming to grow and grow. This is years I've been thinking about this. Oh, bless the Lord. And they're all wonderfully interconnected and linked. And given, unreasonably given as gift. It's grace, scandalous grace. Oh, praise the Lord. We're equipped so abundantly. And if you're anything like me, sometimes you're wallowing in dismay and you're downcast. Got this abundance of resource. Sometimes the Lord allows us to go through times where all you see is the clouds. But he's teaching all the way. He's disciplining. He's maturing us. Nothing is wasted, my dear friend. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing is wasted in the hands of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? And even the stuff that we're absolutely 100% convinced was an utter waste, amazingly, he's able to apply his redemptive skills and restore we've heard. Again, Phil shared. What the enemy meant for evil, let's not be naive. The enemy does mean evil. The Lord meant it for good. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? There's a wonderful word in Hebrew. I'm not going to try and pronounce it. But it's essentially a word, and I've looked into it a little bit. I want to look into it more. And it's a word that sometimes appears, and it's specifically meaning work. As in, you, more often than not, labouring, even work in the fields, etc. But it's the same word that in places, the very same word, it's surprising, means worship. Oh, I love that. Sometimes it comes as service, particularly of the Lord. So there's this rich idea, and I'm just looking into it a bit more now, but this wonderful wholeness of the idea of work and worship being absolutely connected. So it's not, and this is something in our culture we've struggled with. So we come to worship on a Sunday morning for an hour or so. If it's here, it's and so or so. And then, you know, we go to work on Monday morning as if that's something entirely disconnected. Not so in God's heart and mind. Absolutely not. Praise God. So just a few examples of that, just so you don't think I'm making it up. In some verses, this word means work as in to work in a field. So Moses, renewing the covenant with God, says, 6 days shall you work. And that's the word there in Exodus 34. I think it appears first in Genesis 2:15, talking about tending the garden. It's, you know, about work. But in other places, this is what the Lord says, let my people go so they may worship me. The same word. Sometimes that's rendered so that they may serve me. Really interesting, because they were under the service of a despot. And sometimes that word is used there. The Lord calls them out and brings them out and says, you're to serve me. You're to worship only me. You're to work amazingly, and this is wonderful, not so much for me, but, and this really opens up, we'll see hopefully in a moment, with me. Oh, glory to God. This is so wonderful. So when we think of work, I'm just mentioning those points just so that we don't separate it. I know I'm dealing with them in a sense one at a time, but please don't separate it away from worship and the word. Praise God. Oh, just before we move on, I wrote this down. We should not be so concerned about working, in quotes, for God, until we have learned the meaning and delight of worshipping Him. And then out of deep worship, with a hunger and desire for the Word to sustain us, we somehow, and I tentatively say this, do His work. In fact, it's not really that we do His work, although there is a sense of that. He does His work. I mean, this is truly staggering to even suggest it, but we suggest it a lot here, that He actually wants to do His work in us and through us. His work! Oh, how vocational is that? I'm telling you, when we stood here praying for the souls of those two men in Jesus' name, that was a fulfillment of God-ordained, Spirit-filled carrying out of the work and purpose of God. When we stand in the dark place and lift up holy hands and name people before Him and cry out to the Lord for mercy, that He should save them from their utter lostness and take them into an eternity with Him, we are part of the outworking of a greater work. Do you believe that? When you pray, my dear friend, when you pray in the name of Jesus, and most of it is in the closet, isn't it? Hidden. Most of it. when you pray. You are, I believe, I'm with Oswald on this one, Oswald Chambers, if you're not aware. Prayer, he says, is the greater work. It might not seem like it, it might not be glamorous, it might be hidden, it might be quiet, it might be just tears. That's the work. And countless millions of his people right now on earth are breaking their hearts in prayer before the throne, are pleading with the Father. In Christ we do it, in his name. Oh Father, it's not that you have to say the phrase particularly because we're in Christ. That's what praying in his name is all about. We're in him. Oh Father, please save those dear men. Please restore our families. Please keep them from the wicked one. Glory. Don't lose heart. It's okay. You don't have to hold your hand up now, but I often hold my hand up before the Lord. I mean, sometimes before you lot. Lord, I've lost heart. I've taken a hit. I run to you again. I'm not pretending. I feel like I'm down and out. Have you ever been there? And you know the best thing is to run to him again. To surrender all over again. To let him help yourself. Help himself. That's what we read with the girls last night. Lord, help yourself to my life. Thought, wow. That's something. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. This room is pregnant with possibility. Praise God for fulfilled potential. And we're on the edge of our seats for the fulfilling of the as yet unfulfilled potential. I'm talking primarily in terms of prayer, but prayer, once you start praying, it seems to get outworked in proclaiming and praising and preaching and lots of other P's. Praise the Lord. And the enemy, you know what he does? He knows that prayer is the thing. We heard it. Nothing accomplished but by prayer. And he goes for it. And he discourages and he disheartens. And you know what? You stop praying. Or before you actually stop, maybe sometimes you'll still say the words, but the hope has gone out. The hope in the glory and the ability and the majesty of Jesus. We get so discouraged with all the stuff around. And that's what we're looking at. Oh, may the Lord lift our heads. Look up, friends. The victory is won. I've been hearing victory songs this morning, much to my surprise. Victory songs. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Victory songs. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. It's good to have you, Pat. it's so nice to see Pat. Welcome. Sorry, I meant to say welcome at the start, but I feel you're here. Bless the Lord. Oh, praise God. What should we do? I'm going to have to slightly adjust the plan. It's past. Okay, let's just very briefly, I'm going to return to this, I think, but let's just very briefly, I think this is a key thing. I mentioned it earlier. The enemy is deliberately seeking to get us to disengage. That can appear, sometimes it doesn't actually appear obvious. But we'll know inside. And it doesn't happen, as with many of these things, it doesn't just happen usually with a sort of some crisis and it's a really big thing. It's usually a gradual process over time. Just to illustrate this, and often you get your illustrations from the context you're in, don't you? I read, this was a while ago, it was actually for New Life Conference a few years ago. There was a particular theme we were looking at, and I looked into this. I'll just read it, see what you think. So this is about the context of work as in, you know, employment, in your job context, okay? So engaged employees stay for what they give. This is otherwise known as they like their work. Disengaged employees stay for what they get. Otherwise known as favourable or otherwise job conditions, growth opportunities, job security, etc. I was just chatting to Chan. I don't want to say too much in a public context, but you can just hear it. So someone, I would argue, who's engaged, it's about the actual heart of the business or the job or whatever it is they're involved in. That's what they talk about most of the time. If you're beginning along the route of disengagement, you'll still be there, but you'll be talking about how much you get for your pension and how you can work the flexi time system to get home as soon as possible and how many holidays you might get if you stay for just another year. This kind of stuff, it's just about trying to eke out as much benefit. I haven't got a problem with that per se, but it's just telling. Now, there's another bit of research on how to tackle, and this was in the context of America, how to tackle US employees' stagnating engagement. I mean, it's seen as a major issue in the workplace. June 2013, so 4 years ago. And it was recognised there are three distinct types of employees here. So now we move from just engaged and disengaged. You've got engaged, who work with passion and feel a profound connection to their company or business. They tend to drive innovation and move things forward. There's approximately, apparently, according to the research, 30%. I thought that was pretty good. I'll tell you that. Secondly, you've got the not engaged. Essentially, these are, to put it politely, checked out. They're sleepwalking through their workday, putting time but not energy or passion into their work. Apparently 52% are not engaged. And then, somewhat worryingly, there's a third category, actively disengaged. These poor people aren't just unhappy at work, they're busy acting out their unhappiness. Every day these workers undermine what their engaged co-workers are accomplishing. So that's interesting, isn't it, that not just disengagement is kind of passivity, but an active disengagement is undermining what the engaged ones are seeking to do. And that can be a bit discouraging. Eventually, the 30% of engaged people, it begins to drop down into the disengaged. And then, if that downward trajectory continues, you can see what happens. And that's just in a, just out there, you know, in the workplace, so to speak. What about Jesus? Listen, I must be about my Father's business. Zeal for your house has consumed me. He was all about the giving, wasn't he? If ever there was an engaged, please don't misunderstand me, I put this obviously in the context, an engaged employee. I know that's completely wrong, but do you see the picture? Lord, he was just focused on fulfilling the will of his Father. We could read many, many scriptures we're not going to this morning, but one translation of that passage, I must be engaged in my Father's business. I must be about, is that actually sometimes translated? I must be engaged in my Father's business. Now I'm throwing it out there to counter the enemy's malicious schemes and discouragements. Who wants to be engaged? Who wants to be freshly engaged in Father's business? Can I see a show of hands? Oh, glory to God. This is great. That's more than 30%. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Now, you might, some people outside might argue that that research has got holes in it. Because I can't see in your hearts. But you know what? Jesus is here. He can see right into the depths of us. And if he gets a show of a hand down there, he'll take it. Do you want to be freshly engaged in your Father's business? Do you? Amen. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's so encouraging. I know you might be doing it because I'm like putting the pressure on. And I'm looking at you in the eye. Can I just encourage you, even this afternoon or this coming week, get on your knees or sit on your bed or go wherever you go to be with the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, oh Father, 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 I want to be freshly engaged about your business, your work, Lord. There's no one better to work for. And as I said earlier, it's actually working with. That's astonishing. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was going to... Let me just read this quickly. Sorry, I'm against the clock, as usual. Forgive me. This is the greater work. Prayer does not fit us for the greater works. Prayer is the greater work. We think of prayer as a common sense exercise of our higher powers in order to prepare us, perhaps, for God's work. In the teaching of Jesus Christ, prayer is the working of the miracle of redemption in me, which produces the miracle of redemption in others by the power of God. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? I know this is just one man's view, a revelation. We don't just take one person's insight and that's it. Obviously, we need to hold it with how the Lord speaks through so many of his people. But this really blessed me. The way fruit remains is by prayer. But remember, it is prayer based on the agony of redemption, not on my agony. Prayer is the battle. It's a matter of indifference where you are. He's a bit blunt, isn't he, Oswald, if you know him? He's sometimes, whoa, steady. A bit gentle, my friend. But it's a matter of indifference where you are. Whichever way God engineers circumstances, the duty is to pray. Never allow the thought, quote, I am of no use where I am. Because you certainly can be of no use where you are not. It gets worse. Are you ready? Brace yourselves. If you haven't got your seatbelts fastened, just that advice. Put your drink down. Wherever God has dumped you down in circumstances, pray to him there. All the time. And then he quotes, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. And it goes on. Wow. This is my text, and it's 25 past 12. Most assuredly, this is Jesus speaking, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask me in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. There's two verses. Those two verses, just those two verses, I mean, they're in the context of such a torrent, such an outpouring of revelation from the heart of Jesus to his friends. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Maybe next time we'll unpack this a bit. But just take that as it comes to us fresh this morning. In the light of what we were praying, it was about to escalate, I felt. as we started, it was like a trigger point praying for your friends. And then you could just hear people are carrying precious loved ones in their hearts. Sometimes feeling like you're taking the full weight of it. Isn't that right? Sometimes. Situations. Messes. Burdens. We're going to finish. Listen. This is where I started back when I started this, whenever that was. As we hold, we'll just finish here. You're holding these dear people, these situations, these contexts, these hopeless things. The brokenness, the loss, all of it. Yeah? You've prayed. The Lord knows you've prayed. He's still praying. The Lord Himself, He's still praying. He's still interceding. Not for a moment does He stop. And this is what He says to us. My dear friends, are you tired? Do you remember this? Are you worn out? Burned out? Come to Me. Get away with Me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. And this is it. Listen, walk with Me and work with Me. Walk with Me and work with Me. We've talked briefly about worship. We've talked about the Word. He's calling us to walk with Him and work with Him. You're not to carry the full weight, the full burden. Lay it down. I know it's hard because it's so inextricably wound up with who you are and your love and concern and care. And the Lord's not saying, lay it down and don't be concerned. But He's saying, with all that concern, come on, cast all your care on Me, for I care for you. I'm holding the whole thing in My hands. That person, that situation. Walk with Me and work with Me. Watch how I do it. And this was the thing that caught me sometimes. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with Me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Here's the snare with this aspect of work. And the enemy just doesn't stop one way or the other trying to come in. So we're busy in the work of the Lord. And you know, it's possible. We just move just ever so slightly away. And we're working for Him. And the hope begins to wane. And the burden grows heavier. And and then we hear His voice. Come to Me. Find rest. Apparently Dave spoke about rest the other week. Find rest. Will we walk with Him? Those three things. We'll probably come back to this. We're right on. We're going to close now. Maybe just as we close, I'm just so aware of the enemy's ploy to discourage. It's interesting. Chandra shared about encouragement. Counters this, but he's out to discourage and wear down and dishearten. And the Lord is calling. Wherever you are, whatever situation you're in, it says, whoever believes and whatsoever you ask for. Yeah, isn't that amazing? That's a whole talk in itself, isn't it? Whoever and whatsoever. Oh, hallelujah. I've already seen a show of hands for who wants to be freshly engaged in the business of their father. How wonderful is that? Father and sons. That includes all the ladies too. Oh, praise God. He sees our response. Perhaps you're thinking, I want to be, but I'm so disheartened, I can barely drag myself along. And these things are real. Maybe you need to just reach out to his fresh call to come. And realize that he's taking the weight. That yoke, he's taking the weight. Hallelujah. Let's just close in prayer, shall we? Is that all right, Nathan? And then I'll just say grace, maybe. Is that okay?